slow walking, sharp dressed, stand moving, Kleenex box throwing, Bible grabbing, flipping, dancing, jigging, talented, amazing, awesome, superly anointed, Jonathan Shunker.
Believe it or not, I did not pay him to say any of that. He lies. Brilliant. Brilliant. So, how are you guys doing? Wasn't worship awesome? I thought it was incredible, and it would just flowed really well. Ben, amazing job. You should give yourselves a pat on the back. And if you're around them, you can pat them on the back too. Anyway, welcome everyone to Catch the Fire. I'm so excited to be here. And in case you were wondering, the reason I was taking a long time coming up is because someone was asking me about Fresh Wind. So Nathan, I was trying to do my job and give information that people needed. But anyway, thank you. That's a good point. Hector's birthday party. Right. All right. Well, as you know, last week, Naomi was with us, and she started our series off on. And this week, we're continuing our series on. And we will be talking about David and Bathsheba. You guys. I'm just joking. Goliath. And so for those of you who either heard me speak last week or got your email update, you would have read 1 Samuel 17. Fail. 1 Samuel 17 is where we're turning to. If you can turn with me there, that would be fantastic because I would like to talk with you about perhaps one of the most famous stories in the Bible. David and Goliath. And you know that I could use somebody to maybe run up here and be like David. Olivia, would you mind, actually? Olivia, come on up. Olivia, come on up. Come on. I think Olivia needs a little bit of encouragement. Everyone, this is Olivia. She, Nathan will give you $5. Olivia, I have known for 7 or 8 years. She was one of my youth as we were growing up. I think I grew a little bit more. And I'm sorry, that was a height reference. I can't do that with many people. And so, Olivia, I feel privileged and honored. Olivia, I would like to introduce you. She's no longer Olivia right now. She is David. Everyone say hi, David.
Hi, David.
Hi, David. And I would like to introduce you to Jonathan. Could I use you for a second? Yeah, thanks. Just come on up. Everyone, and this is Goliath. Yeah. I would just like to point out the difference with that. If it's cool, I'm just going to get you guys to sit there just for a couple minutes, and then I will let me set the story, and then I'll get them up. Cool. Cool. All right. In 1 Samuel 16, David is anointed with oil. Samuel tells him, you're going to be the next king of Israel, pretty much. David goes, ha, 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 and goes home. After that, because the Lord is on him, because of how excellent he is and what he does, his name gets put before King Saul. So King Saul sends for David. David's brought into his presence. David would play the harp. La. And whenever the evil spirit was afflicting Saul, the evil spirit would leave. Cool? Cool. Okay. Let me set the scene now. The Philistines, I'm going to get you guys to be the Philistines. All right? Let's hear it for the Philistines. Weak. Let's hear it for the Philistines.
All
right. And you guys are going to be the Israelites. Yeah. Team Spirit. That's what I like. Nathan, give them all $5. Okay. Philistines and Israelites, they hate each other, they're neighbors, they don't want to share the land, and they gather for battle, okay? So they gather for battle, and they're like, they're yelling insults at each other, like, yo, my goat's bigger than your goat, or yo, your mama's hairier than my goat, or I don't know, something like that, you know? Like, just yelling at each other back and forth because they hate each other. Just like that. Thank you, Matthew. You can always, there's always one. There's always one. So the Philistines and the Israelites gather on two separate, on two hillsides, and there's a valley between them, right? And they're yelling at each other, and you know, oh, we're going to kill you. No, I'm going to kill you. No, I'm going to kill you. And all of a sudden, out from their ranks steps Goliath. Their champion. And he lumbers over to the edge of the hill, and he didn't have pockets in those days, so his hands were out. And Goliath yells. He's this big, burly man. The Bible actually says that he's over 9 feet tall. His spear head, just the head of his spear, weighs over 15 pounds, and his spear shaft is like the shaft of a weaver's beam. How many of you do some weaving in here? No one? Like, yeah, okay. A weaver's beam, for those of you who don't know, is about 2.5 inches in diameter. So imagine the end of a baseball bat. And that's pretty much how thick the shaft is. So, dude's a big guy. This is why I asked John to help out, because he's a little bit taller. He's huge. And Goliath comes out, and he yells out to the Israelites. And if it's all right, I'm going to get John to yell this in his manliest, gruffest voice. Yeah, great. Thanks. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, steps out. And he says, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? And this is what I'm going to get you to yell. Choose a man. No, dude. It's got to yell. No, like deep voice. Choose a man. Thank you. Hold on. Choose a man and have him come down to me. Yeah. Apparently Goliath is Italian, but that's okay. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome and kill him, you will become our subjects. And then the Philistine says this. He gets even meaner if that's possible. And he says, this day I defy the armies of Israel. In that voice, he speaks like that. It was amazing. And the Philistines behind him, they're like, hoo, 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 go Goliath. And the Israelites, pee their pants a little bit because of how scared they are, and they turn tail and run, okay? And this goes, it actually says in the Bible, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Okay, I said you're dismayed and terrified, not that someone died. Calm down. So check this out. For 40 days, day in and day out, Goliath would lumber out to the hillside, shout his challenge. And the Israelites would be scared and terrified in their boots, and Goliath would lumber home. Because no one is willing to stand up to this beast of a man who rips tree trunks apart with his bare hands because they're scared. Enter into the picture, David. Hey. Now, the Bible describes David as a ruddy young lad who is exceptionally good looking, apparently. And David had, it says ruddy, so picture like really puffy cheeks. Or not puffy, but like rosy cheeks. Right. David, because the battle's going on for so long, and there's no battle because everyone's too scared to fight Goliath, David gets sent by his father, go, son, to the front lines. And he sends some food with David. So David takes the food. He goes to the front lines. And while he goes to the front lines, he drops the food off, runs to see his three brothers who are in the army. And, like, he's talking to them. And Goliath comes out. And Goliath starts, like, fee-fi-fo-fum. You know, like his regular whatever he does. Like, he yells his challenge. And David, on hearing this, David's like, who is this guy? Why is he talking smack? What the heck? And he notices, David notices how the Israelites are all terrified. And he's like, what the heck? Who is this guy to defy the armies of the living God? And his brother's like, shut up, David. You don't know what you're talking about. And David leaves, goes to another spot, and he's like, who is this guy to defy the armies of the living God? Right? Eventually, what happens is that Saul hears about it. Jonathan, I'm going to get you to do double duty. You're going to be Saul right now. Saul hears about what David is saying. And so David gets brought into the presence of Saul. And Saul is like, you are going to fight him? He's huge. He's bigger than me. And he's been fighting all his life. You're a shepherd. And David says this. He says something that I think is so courageous. He says, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. Olivia's just going to act this out. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from his mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So Saul says, go, and may the Lord be with you. And Saul, trying to help him, Saul puts his own helmet onto David and gives him, like, his armor and his sword. And it's so heavy that David can, like, barely walk in it. It's like cement. Like, he just, like, he tries to take a step forward and almost falls over. And he says, I can't do this. So he takes all of the stuff off. And you can go back to being Goliath. Thank you. And now David goes out to meet Goliath. And all he's got is a sling, like a slingshot, right? Except a slingshot, you pull back and you shoot a sling. You actually whirl around your head, and then you have to let go at a certain point, and the rock will fly. And apparently you could get really, really good at this. I used to try it when I was a kid, but I almost took someone's eye out, so I stopped. So David goes out to meet Goliath, but on the way he stops by the stream and he chooses 5 smooth stones, picks them up, and puts them in his pouch. And then he goes out. And when Goliath sees David, Goliath is huge and mean and nasty, and I think he smells a little bit, but he's huge. And Goliath, when he sees this young boy coming out to him, he lets out a hearty belly laugh. Santa Claus, before we had Santa Claus, folks. Goliath lets out a ginormous belly laugh. And he says, what am I, a dog, that you will come at me with sticks and stones? And then he goes, come here, boy, and I'll feed your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David says this. David says, you come against me. He says it more confidently. You come against me, with sword and spear and javelin.
Sword and spear and javelin.
But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands. So David is staring down not only Goliath, but he's staring down the Philistines. He's looking each one of these beastly guys into their eyes and saying, I'm going to kill you. And you will know that there is a God because you have defied him. And it says that Goliath starts to move towards David to kill him. But David picks up a small stone, puts it in his sling, and starts whirling it. And then, so Goliath is moving towards him. Almost like Troy, you know, like that opening epic scene where that like giant refrigerator of a guy is running towards Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt's just chill. And he picks up a stone and whirls it and he throws it. And it goes ding. And it actually hits Goliath right between the way to be enthusiastic. And hits Goliath right between the eyes, and the Bible says that the stone sinks into his forehead. So all of a sudden, this rock hits him right square in the forehead, sinks into his brain, and Goliath falls over. And David runs over and pulls out Goliath's ginormous sword from his scabbard and cuts off his head. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. And the Israelites, with a shout, hooray, went and pursued their enemy into the caves and the fields and the sea and all of that. So, thank you. Thank you. Please give a hand for our lovely volunteers. Thank you, David. Thank you, Goliath. What a wonderful story. What great acting. But really, what is God trying to say to us through this? Let's look at it a little bit more closely. Goliath is this huge beast of a man with the latest technology, the latest armor, the latest in shields, the latest in spear making, the latest in the latest swords. He's got like, if iPads could be used as a weapon, he would have the iPad 4. Like, he was completely up to date. And he had been trained in those arts all his life. I don't know about you, sometimes I watch the UFC. I would not want to fight one of those guys, because I know they've been training most of their lives to do one thing and do it well, and that's to kick my butt. So I would not step into a ring with them. David, on the other hand, David is pure little puny shepherd boy. Raised all his life to tend sheep. That's where he spent all of his life. Out in the fields, out on the mountain, out in the desert terrain, trying to make sure that his sheep get enough pasture. And in fact, some of the most incredible Psalms of David are written while he was in the desert. Go through and read some of the Psalms. Read some of how David pours his heart out to God, and you will be amazed by what a young shepherd boy does. How he's able to express his love to God. But David, while he's there, he is surrounded by sheep. Not very good conversation going on. And so David has incredibly deep times with God. He gets to know his God to the point where a bear or a lion come and carry off one of his sheep. Instead of running away, David goes after it and kills it. FYI, if a bear or a lion is ever after you, you don't need to be the fastest runner. You just need to outrun the guy next to you. That's all you need to do. But David, instead of running away, runs right towards him. Right towards the lion and the bear, saves the sheep, kills them. And he comes into the story and he says, who is this guy? Who is this guy defying the armies of the living God? Who is this guy making fun of God? Who is this guy saying that he can actually destroy us? We have God on our side. And Goliath says something. He says this. He says, if you kill me, see these guys, all these guys behind me, they'll become your subjects. They'll become your slaves. And in your life, there are usually one or two problems in whatever season of life you're going through. If you can successfully overcome that, everything else in your life, all those other problems that you're facing, will become your subjects. You'll overcome them like that. If there's one thing in your life that you are facing, if you can overcome that, everything else in your life at that moment will become subject to you because you will gain authority in it. Goliath comes out, big beast of a man. Oh, if you kill me, I'm the biggest, strongest, baddest Philistine in this place. If you kill me, all these others will be no problem. And that's actually an invitation from God for you. If there are things in your life coming up that you feel like are too big, it's an invitation from God to step in and kill that problem, to overcome it. Because then the other things in your life will go so smoothly. For me, when I was growing up, that problem was pornography. I would feel like, you know, if I haven't looked at pornography, if I haven't masturbated, then my relationship with God is great. Then my relationship with my friends and my family and the people around me is wonderful. But oh no, if I did, oh, everything else just kind of piles up. Life actually feels like it doesn't have much of a purpose. My relationship with my friends would get strained. My schoolwork actually would start slipping. My grades would start slipping. All of that would stem from that one problem. For years, I struggled with that. And it's only been in, I don't know, the past 5 years, 4 years, that I've started to find victory in that. And it's wonderful. And I found that when I did, all the other things I struggled with just weren't an issue. So in your life, if there's something that you are struggling with, if you are able to overcome it, and I honestly believe that you're able to because the spirit that overcomes lives in you. When you overcome that problem, all the other problems facing you, all of a sudden, it just becomes smooth sailing. And David walks into the situation where this giant beast of a man is saying, if you kill me, we'll become your slaves. And everyone around him is cowering and shaking. Everyone around him is peeing their pants in fear. And they would run, but they can't. And David looks at him and says, you defy God. I'll kill you and prove to everyone around me that there is a God who's real. I'll do it. Poor little shepherd boy goes up against the greatest, up until that point, one of the greatest warriors. And I mean, I think the Israelites, when they see David going out, they're scared because they think they're going to see a massacre. And David runs out there and he says in front of everyone, he says, you know, I'm gonna take you down so that all may know that there is a God. That's not by sword, it's not by spear, it's not by bow that the Lord saves. But the battle is the Lord's. I'm going to prove it. Do you know in Psalm 44, verse 6, it says, I do not trust in my bow. My shield does not give me victory. And that's one thing that I've had to learn in my life over and over and over again. That it does not depend on my strength. It does not depend on my good looks. It does not depend on my talents. It does not depend on my humor. It does not depend on me, on John Shunker. The battle is the Lord's. My life is my God's. And when I rely on him, I'm able to overcome anything and everything that he puts in my path. But when I start relying on myself and on my talents, on my abilities, all of a sudden I limit myself to what I'm able to do. When you rely on the Lord and on his name and his name alone in your life, you will overcome things that will cripple other people. I've seen people walk out of drugs. I've seen people walk out of alcohol. I've seen people walk out of gangs. I've seen broken families restored and renewed because of God working in their lives. And David takes one look at Goliath and he says, you know what? You're nothing. Because God's done it before. God's helped me with the lion and the bear. God helped me in the secret place when no one was there, no one was around to help me, no one was around to witness. God helped me. And I know that he'll do the same for you when I fight you. See, if you can gain victory in the private place, God will give you victory in the public place. If you honor God in the private place when no one's looking, when what you think you're doing is insignificant, David was very insignificant in his family. He was the youngest child, and he was a shepherd, which is normally a servant's job. And yet he honored God. If you honor God when no one's looking, God will honor you when all eyes are on you. And David came out, he sees Goliath, and he thinks, because God's done it before, God will do it again. Because God's done it before in the small things, God will do it again in the large things. And this is what, if we as a church, if we can honestly get this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if he's done it before, well, he can do it again. Before I go pray for someone for healing, you know, it's incredible. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen deaf ears hear. I've seen legs grow out in front of me. I've seen people get up out of a wheelchair and walk. I've seen headaches go and cancer leave bodies. I've seen these incredible things happen. But every single time someone comes to me for prayer, my first instinct is, I don't know if I want to pray for them. I don't know. Are they really going to be healed? I don't know. And at that moment, I pause and I remind myself, wait a second, God has done all these things before. I'll remind myself of the healings I've seen, of the healings that God's done right in front of me. And it builds my faith where all of a sudden this problem is nothing. God's done it before, he'll do it again. And in the same way, David went over his past victories. He reminded himself of what God had done. And he said, if God did it before, God will do it again. And in your life, if you've seen a miracle, if you've seen something happen in your life that you didn't think was possible, it's actually an invitation for you to step into the next great thing of God. It's not something for you just to stand there and be like, oh, what a great miracle. Crap, I need like 10 more. It's to say, wow, God did it there. Well, God's going to do it here, and God's going to do it here, and God's going to do it here. And when that happens, the problems in your life, the things that you struggle with, start bowing their knee to the power of Jesus flowing through you. Hey, to the power of God flowing in you, because it says in Romans 8:11 that you have received the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It says in Romans 8:15, we did not receive a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear, but we received the spirit of sonship by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You have not received a spirit of fear. And when you see problems in your life or when you see problems in the world, they are not meant to intimidate you. They're meant to challenge you. It's actually an invitation from God to partner with you to go and see that problem solved. One of my good friends, Darren Clark, we had him up here in November. He talked about water, the needs of clean water in Africa. It's incredible what he did. I'm so convicted and so challenged by it. He came from Africa, came over to Canada, and him and his wife are youth pastors at church. And Darren was so taken by the need for clean water in Africa. That's the number one cause of people dying in Africa, is they just don't have access to clean drinking water. I've seen some of the rivers and some of the lakes where they drink from, it's just filthy. Like, you wouldn't give that to your dog. And yet people are drinking that. And Darren was so taken with that that he decided, let's do something about it. And he went on this course where he met some other people who taught him how to start up a business, how to do some of these things. And he's sitting down with some of these guys, some really famous people, really famous business people, and they're talking. And Darren says, you know, because of what we're doing here, we're going to change the world. And they're like, man, who are you? You're talking crazy. You can't change the world. We can't change the world. And Darren says, you know, if all we do is we provide one water filter to one family, their lives will never be the same again. And we'll have changed the world. The world will never be the same because of that one family. And when he said that, I was so astounded by his level of faith. I was like, oh my goodness, God, help me to see things as you see them. Help me to see with that level of faith. And then he went down there and he started up, I think he started up two or three factories where they manufacture water filters, not just for families, but for entire villages now. And he's going back on another trip to maybe see if he can get some more done. And I'm so astounded by that because I would look at a problem like people lacking clean water in Africa and I would say, oh, there's no way I can do that. That's way too big. I'm not even going to try touching that. And I would totally miss the challenge that God has placed for me, totally miss the invitation from God to partner with him to solve that very problem. In the same way, you are called to greatness. You are called to do great things. And some of you, I know especially in the young adult age, we're looking for a cause. We're looking for something to give our lives to. And yes, while I wholeheartedly believe that's Jesus Christ, I believe we're also called to make a difference in this world. What are the areas that ignite your heart with passion? What are the areas where you see something happening and you're like, that should not be happening, I want to change that? When I see people who have a wrong view of God, when I see people who all their life think that it's just a bunch of rules, that, oh, God's some far-off, distant creature who I need to keep happy, that actually angers me because I know God and I know nothing could be further than the truth. So I want to tell them, I want to teach them, I want to show them however I can, in whatever way I can, that God loves them and God cares for them. In the same way, the things that you see that anger you and that really bug you is because you're called to them. And it's not because God's setting you up to fail. It's because God's setting you up to have his power shine through you so that not only you, but your friends and your family and this world will know that there is a God who's real and who cares and who is way more powerful and way more loving and way more kind and way more generous than they have ever thought. Just like David did when he said, I defy you. I'm going to take you on. Young shepherd boy, giant beast of a man. Young shepherd boy, giant beast of a man. Sounds like a joke. But David ran up, and with all his might, he threw his stone. I honestly believe that he could have thrown the stone behind him and somehow would have bounced off like three tree trunks and still hit Goliath in the head. He could have like thrown the stone above him. It might have hit a bird. The bird might have like fallen into Goliath's skull and still killed him. Because when you take on the initiatives from God, he will direct you. And your attempts will be magnified. And he'll put you in contact with the right people at the right time. He'll give you the connection. He'll give you the hookups that you need. I honestly believe he could have slung that stone behind him. Maybe a bird would have picked it up. I don't know, man, but I know that Goliath would have died because he had defied the armies of the living God. And I want to tell you that giants are very much alive in our land today. There are giants of abortion. There are giants of poverty. There are giants of hopelessness and despair. There are giants of immorality, and there are giants that have blinded people to the truth of God. And the entire world, society, is waiting for someone to step up and say, I defy you, I'm going to take you down. Just like there was a point when people didn't think that racism was possible to be eradicated. Just like there was a point when people didn't think it was possible for an athlete to run a 4-minute mile. As soon as one person did it, 4 years later, 13 more people had done it. Just as there was a point when Bill Gates didn't think there was you would need any more than about 500 kilobytes of memory. There are all these things that people have been so wrong on, and giants have been slain. And I want to ask you if you're going to be a giant killer. Are you going to be a giant killer, or are you going to be one of those who are cowering? Because those problems are an invitation from God. They're a challenge. They're not meant to intimidate you. They're not supposed to intimidate you. Far too often I allow myself to be intimidated. Far too often I see someone walking on the street and my first thing is I want to go up and pray for them, or I want to go up and share God's love with them. And instead I pause. Oh no, what will they think of me? Oh, this is stupid. Let's go nap. Or I want a steak. I'm hungry. I'll talk to them after. I was flying back on the plane from Mexico. I'm talking to the lady who's sitting beside me. We're having some great conversation. And I feel like I want to talk to her about God. I was so tired. I'd stay up late the night before. I got in really bad sleep. It was really hot in my room. And I was like, I'm just going to nap for a little bit. Fell asleep. Woke up as her plane was coming down to Toronto. And I just want to get off that plane. And I didn't see that lady. And I'm walking off the plane and walking through customs. And all of a sudden I was like, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, what if that moment was a moment when I could have shared your love and your grace with her? Lord, forgive me. Give me another opportunity like that. Guys, there are giants every day in your lives, and you're called to take them down. When you know your God, it says in Daniel, I believe it's 11:37b, the second half of the verse, those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. When you know your God, when you honestly know your God, when you know his goodness and his grace in your life, you will do great exploits. You will be known as a giant killer. Shabbat. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the spirit that you're releasing in this hour upon us. Lord, I thank you that you're looking for people to partner with to do great exploits. God, I thank you that we can slay giants. I thank you that the giants of pornography, the giants of abortion, God, the giants of the sex trade, God, I thank you that the giants of drugs and alcohol, God, I thank you that these giants are actually nothing compared to you. Father, and I ask that you would give us eyes to see, Lord, that when we see these things, we would see them as you see them. That you give us wisdom and you give us insight and you give us discernment, God, with how to go about bringing down these giants. Hey. And I also feel like God's asking you. Some of you are not there yet. Some of you are like, John, how can I even think about abortion right now when I'm struggling with my horrible manager at work? You know what? God wants to give you wisdom and he wants to give you insight into that situation. So that when your relationship is restored, you look at that and say, wow, if God did that, God can do greater. I don't ever want to be limited by my imagination, by what I think God can do. So Lord, I ask you, blow our minds, blow our hearts, blow our spirits and our souls, God, with how big you are. And how wonderful you are. And how we are able to conquer all, God. How we are more than conquerors through you who loved us and gave yourself for us. Hey, Lord, I thank you that we are more than conquerors. And I thank you that you're releasing a conquering spirit upon us. That you're calling us to be like David, who love you in the secret place. That go and get victory in the public place for you. And the glory and the honor goes to you. Amen. I would just like to point out one more thing. When David killed Goliath, the glory went to God. Because David said right away, you have defied God, and I'm going to kill you because God has sent me here. I'm going to kill you to prove that there is a God. And when he killed Goliath and cut off his head, it was God who got the victory. Everyone knew it was only God who could have done that. So in the same way, I bless you to be giant killers and giant slayers, to be known in your region, to be known in your area, to be known in your area of influence as someone who walks with God, as someone who people can go to with their problems, because you kill giants. That's you. How many of you are having a hard time believing that? Sometimes I do. I was going to say. I want you to find someone and just pray with them. Look them in the eye and call out the greatness that God's placed in them. You're a giant slayer. You're called into the area of politics or business or media or arts or whatever it is. Just bless them. Do that right now. Go. And then we're going to end. I'll go play pool.